Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 27th chapter, in your Scofield Bible, page 1041. That's page 1041. Beginning with verse 15, we'll read through verse 22. We'll read these verses responsibly. There was a young lady in this church who used to think that's what I was saying, responsibly. We should do that too. Okay. And the 22nd verse is the text verse for this evening's message. Let's stand, please. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for every they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this good crowd tonight at the church. We're thankful for the effort that has gone into many folks being here tonight. The weather, of course, has been a little bit extreme. We're thankful for this warm building, and we're thankful for the warm family atmosphere that we have here. We're thankful, too, for the preaching of thy word. We come to that hour, and we pray you'd give us a desire, an urgency even to hear the preacher. And grant him by power, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to read my text tonight without your turning to it. I read in the 22nd verse of the 27th chapter of Matthew. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. The title of my sermon is also the text of my sermon. The question was asked by Pilate, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? My sermon tonight will not be like the average Sunday night sermon, nor it will be like the average Sunday morning sermon. It'll be somewhat evangelistic. And yet, I want to talk to you on that subject. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Our Heavenly Father, I come now to do what I've done nearly 56,000 times. I come now to do what I've done all across this nation in numbers of foreign countries. I come to do now what I've done to congregations of thousands and hundreds and even tens. I'm going to preach the word of God. I ask your help as I do, please. Amen. Neath the stars of the night walked the Savior of light in a garden of dew-laden breeze. Not my will, but thine be done, cried the Father's own Son as he knelt neath the old olive trees. Neath the old olive trees, neath the old olive trees, went the Savior alone on his knees. Not my will, but thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt neath the old olive trees of the Garden of Gethsemane. There comes a band of officers from the chief priests, Pharisees, if you please, to arrest him. Soon Judas of the Twelve places his kiss of betrayal upon the brow of our Lord, pointing to those Pharisees who came to arrest him. exactly which one was the Christ. Judas, why use a kiss? Probably the tenderest symbol of all love. Why not point, Judas, to Jesus? Or why not tap him on the shoulder to signify who he is? Or why not toss an olive branch toward him and let them know which one is the Christ? Or why not just walk up and stand beside him, signifying that this is the one? Or why not place a garland around his neck if you're going to be hypocritical, but don't go so far as to use the tenderest expression of love, that of a kiss? Why not pat him on the back and say, the one on whose back I pat is the Messiah? Or why not stand behind him and say, the one in front of me? Or even slap his face or smite his back? But Judas, don't kiss him. But kiss he does. He places the kiss of betrayal upon the brow of our lovely Lord. Jesus is then taken to Annas, the high priest. Now, Annas was no longer the officiating high priest. He was sort of a high priest emeritus. But he was still the most influential of all the priests. He examines our Lord, binds him, and delivers him to Caiaphas. Caiaphas is the son-in-law to Annas, and he is the reigning high priest. He was not near as powerful in his influence as was Annas, but nevertheless he held the title of the reigning high priest. He asked Jesus of his doctrine. He asked him of his disciples. One of his officers strikes Jesus on the face. And then Caiaphas proposes the death of Jesus Christ. From Caiaphas, he's sent to Pilate. Pilate immediately acquits Jesus of all guilt of evil. He wants to release him, but he wants to be popular more than he wants to release Jesus. So he gives orders to scourge him or to beat him with a cat of nine tails 39 times. And then he's sent to Herod. Herod asks for a miracle. Sort of like you'd ask somebody to perform a trick for you, a magician, perform a magic trick. Herod had heard that he had opened blind eyes and deaf ears and caused the lame to jump and run and caused the dead to live and caused the blind to see and caused the dumb to speak. And Herod says, Jesus, perform some miracle. I'd like to see you do it. But Jesus was not a charismatic. He wouldn't perform his miracles just for the television program or to be seen, offer the applause of men or the offerings from men. Herod sent him back to Pilate. It was Passover time. Pilate's wife had warned him to have nothing to do with Jesus because she had been warned in a dream. And she said to Pilate, have nothing to do with this man. And Pilate did not heed his wife's warning. It was Passover time. It was the custom at Passover time to release a prisoner. There was a prisoner there who was a noted prisoner. His name was Barabbas. Pilate, in an effort to acquit himself of the guilt of Christ, Pilate says, I have two men here. It is our custom to release one prisoner. Here is Jesus on one side, which is called Christ. On the other side is Barabbas, a notorious, noted criminal. Whom shall I release? And the crowd cries, Barabbas! Release Barabbas! Release the criminal! Crucify Jesus! Let Barabbas go! Release Barabbas! And then Pilate comes to the question of my sermon. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? If I release Barabbas, what am I to do with Jesus? Here is a pertinent question. As pertinent today as it was when Pilate asked it 2,000 years ago. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? A question that will determine whether or not you spend eternity in heaven or hell. What shall I do with Jesus? Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth the sudden call? What shall you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Jesus is standing at your heart's door, standing and knocking. He's knocked before. And this is the question he asks once more, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day, when you stand before him, your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? A question that will determine your eternity, whether you spend eternity walking the golden streets of heaven or burning in the fires of a Satan's hell. A question that will, for Christians, determine your enjoyment of heaven and the degree of that enjoyment. The question is, tonight, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? The question is not, what shall I do with religion? The question is not, what shall I do with denomination? The question is not, what shall I do with baptism? The question is not, what shall I do with the sacraments? The question is not, what shall I do with communion? The question is not, what shall I do with my life? The question is not, what shall I do with the church? The question is not, what shall I do with confirmation? The question is not, what shall I do with confession? The question is not, what shall I do with the priest? The question is not, what shall I do with the Pope? The question is not, what shall I do with worship? The question is not, what shall I do with the Sabbath? The question is not, what shall I do with the Ten Commandments? The question is not, what shall I do with liturgy? The question is not, what shall I do with my family's tradition or religion? And I wonder how many people are burning in hell because they're more loyal to their family's tradition or religion than they are the gospel of Jesus Christ. The question is not, what shall I do with the Eucharist? The question is not, what shall I do with holy days and holy seasons? The question is not, what shall I do with absolution? The question is not, what shall I do with belief in God? The question is not, what shall I do with the Catholic hierarchy? The question is not, what shall I do with the Baptist convention? The question is not, what shall I do with Lenten season? The question is not, what shall I do with liquor? The question is not, what shall I do with morality? The question is not, what shall I do with the preacher? The question is not, what shall I do with the archbishop? The question is not, what shall I do with the Vatican? The question is not, what shall I do with the rabbi? The question is not, what shall I do with sincerity? The question is not, what shall I do with deity? The question is not, what shall I do with the Lord's Supper? The question is not, what shall I do with the catechism? The question is plainly and simply this, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? You walk the streets of heaven with your eyes upon the lovely face of our Lord forever, or you'll burn in the fires of the torments of hell forever on the basis not of what kind of life did you live, what kind of church did you join, what kind of communion did you take, what kind of confession did you attend, but what did you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? The answers today are quite the same as then. He is still on trial today, just like he was 2,000 years ago. And people still answer that question with the varied answers of 2,000 years of yesterday's. Some, as Pilate, will try to avoid the question. Pilate washed his hands. Go ahead, Pilate. Wash your hands in that basin, but you'll never wash your hands of Jesus. The question is, what should you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Go ahead, Pilate. Wash your hands in the Sea of Galilee if you want to, but you can't wash your hands of the blood of Jesus. Wash your hands in the Mediterranean Sea, that beautiful sea on the shores of Palestine, but you can't wash your hands of Jesus. Wash your hands in the Pool of Siloam, or the melted snow of Mount Hermon, or the Pool of Bethesda, or the Persian Gulf, or the Dead Sea, or the Abana River, or the Pharpar River, or the waters of the Nile, or the Tigris, Euphrates, or the Red Sea. Hey, but you cannot wash your hands of Jesus Christ. You've got to face the issue, what will you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? You must face that question, Pilate.
You must face that question, Caiaphas. You must face that question, Annas. You must face that question, Herod. You must face that question, truck drivers. You must face that question, sailors. You must face that question, mission men. You must face that question, deaf people. You must face that question, bus kids. You must face that question, middle-class America, who drove nice cars to the church service tonight. You must face that question, bus rider. You must face that question, financially secure senior citizen. You must face that question, Michael Jordan. You must face that question, Michael Jackson. You must face that question, college professor. You must face that question, liberal preacher. You must face that question, Madeline Murray O'Hare. What shall I do with Jesus, which is the Christ, called the Christ? What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? You must face that question, Jane Fonda. You must face that question, Dennis Rodman. You must face that question, Bill Clinton. You must face that question, Hillary Clinton. You must face that question, Madonna. You must face that question, Hugh Hefner. You must face that question, Ted Kennedy, with the blood of a young lady still dropping from your wicked hands. You must face that question, Catholic Pope, with the blood of people dropping from your hands because you dared to say you could absolve somebody's sins. The Pope of Rome can't absolve anybody's sins any more than O.J. Simpson can absolve anybody's sins. You must face that question, Mr. Trump, with your crooked money you've made making widows out of married ladies and homeless children by taking their money at your dirty casinos. And you'll face that question, Mayor of Hammond, and you'll face that question, every politician that allows the casinos and encourages them to run rampant in America. Did you read recently the story of Brother Tom Vogel was telling me about the state of Minnesota, wasn't it? And how that since the Minnesota allowed the casinos to come in, every form of crime has increased in that state. And there's nothing that has done more to wreck and ruin America than the godless, dirty, filthy casinos across our land. You must face that question, Magic Johnson. You must face that question, Chicago Bulls. You must face that question, Dallas Cowboys. You must face that question, Olympic gold medalist. You've got to face the question, what shall I do with Jesus, which is the Christ, which is called Christ? Some as Pilate will avoid the question. Some as Judas will betray you. Listen to me, I'm preaching to you back here, young ladies. Some as Judas will betray him. Pretenders to be his followers. Let me list a few of those tonight who, when the question is asked, what would you do with Jesus, which is called Christ, who will, with Judas Iscariot, betray him? They who stand behind pulpits and deny his virgin birth, they're betraying the Son of God. They who pastor churches and deny his sinless, perfect life, they're betraying the Son of God. They who teach in seminaries and deny his vicarious death, they're betraying the Son of God. They who wear clerical collars and deny his bodily resurrection, they are betraying the Son of God. They who are religious leaders who stray from the old King James Bible to some of these satanic Bibles being printed for a buck by the Zondervan publishers and Nelson publishers and Broadman publishers and others, who are interested to sell out the Word of God to make a buck. God pity their unsaved soul. They betrayed the Son of God as much as Judas Iscariot did 2,000 years ago. Those who preach behind pulpits and yet deny that the blood of Jesus is on the mercy seat in heaven. They who are religious leaders who stray from the King James Bible. They who have changed the Bible for financial gain. They who print false Bibles and cast doubts on his deity. And they who take young men called in fundamental churches and ask them to come to their colleges and destroy their faith. I'm saying all of these not only betray Jesus like Judas Iscariot did, but get me clear and plain, they'll burn in hell just like Judas Iscariot is. You won't betray the Son of God and go to heaven. You won't betray the blood of Christ and go to heaven. Well, you said, Brother Howes, what if a person gets born again betrays the Bible? A born-again person won't betray this Bible. A born-again person won't betray the blood of Jesus Christ. A born-again person won't say he was not virgin-born. A born-again person will not say he was an illegitimate child of a Jewish maiden. A born-again person won't say he didn't rise from the dead. Because, bless God, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in you to live. He'll testify to you that he was born of a virgin. He'll testify to you he lived a perfect life. He'll testify to you he died a vicarious death. He'll testify to you he rose after 72 hours, triumphant over death, the grave, and hell. He'll testify to you that this Bible is the never-dying Word of Almighty God. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Some, like Pilate, will wash their hands of him. Some, like Judas Iscariot, will betray him. But some, like the sailors, some like the soldiers will crucify him. You say, now hold it, Brother Hiles. How can I be guilty of the murder of Jesus Christ? Have you ever read that scripture that says, inasmuch as you've done it, one of the least of these you've done to me? Jesus said, I was in prison, you visited me. I was sick and you came to see me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. And they said, Jesus, when did we see you naked and clothe you? When did we see you thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you in jail and came to see you sick and ministered to you? And Jesus said, the way you minister to me, and the way you visit me, and the way you do good to me, is doing it to one of the least of these, my brethren. Now listen carefully to me. Can you think of anyone who's more the least of these than unborn babies? You hear me well. Mr. William Clinton, who sits in the White House tonight, is a bold-faced murderer. Every congressman and every that allows babies to be murdered in the womb of a mother is a bold-faced murderer. Just as much as O.J. Simpson is, as much as Ted Kennedy is. Every justice that sits on the Supreme Court, those nine demented minds that sit on the Supreme Court, who are allowing a million human beings to be murdered in cold blood every year. I'm saying you're guilty, they're guilty of crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. For as much as you've done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Some, like Pilate, wash their hands of him. Some, like Judas, betray him. Some, like the soldiers, crucify him. And some, like Peter, deny him. Now, who are these? These are they who do not stand with him when he's unpopular on the job. These are they, when he's being cursed, are silent and do not stand and speak a word for him. Who are these who deny him? When he is being humanized, they're silent, do not stand for the deity of Jesus Christ. Those who stayed away from church on Sunday night to watch the Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan and Dennis Rodman play basketball. Those people who live in Boston and New England, and those people who lived in Milwaukee, and those people that live in Jacksonville, and those people that live in Charlotte, North Carolina, whose teams played today in the championship games, who stayed home from church and watched a bunch of goons try to kill themselves in sub-freezing weather and didn't go to church, I'm trying to tell you, they're denying the Son of God as much as Peter did. Those disciples who forsook him and fled, those who for fear chose Barabbas, those who joined the National Council of the Church's Ministerial Association, with those who reject him are guilty of denying the Savior. Those who decide whether to come to church or not when it's church time are denying the Savior. Those who never win people to Jesus Christ. Didn't he say you either love me or you hate me? Didn't he say you crown me or you crucify me? Didn't he say you're for me or you're against me?
What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Some, like Pilate, wash their hands of him. Some, like Judas, betray him. Some, like the soldiers, crucify him. And some, like Peter, deny him. Some, like the thief, accept him. I want to remind you of something. That thief on the cross never gave a penny of tithe. But Jesus said, you're going to heaven with me on the next train, the next load. Jesus said, today. This thief said, hey, when you get out there in the kingdom someday and you're ruling and reigning from Jerusalem, don't forget me. Jesus said, how about right now? I'm going right now to paradise. How about being my companion on the way? I want to tell you, that thief went to heaven. He never gave a tithe. He never went to church. He never joined the church. He was never baptized. He didn't have time to turn from all of his sins. He never made Jesus Lord of his life. He never took the Holy Eucharist. He never kissed the Pope's big toe. And I've often said, I wish I had shot at that toe. I'd amputate that thing if I get my mouth that close to it. I haven't got a bit of use for somebody who sets himself up as the absolver of sin. Jesus is the absolver of sin. There was no priest there. He went to heaven, but there was no priest there, so he could not confess his sins to a priest. So that's not the way you get to heaven. Whatever he did was the way to heaven. There was no confessional booth there, or Catholic priest, so confessing your sins to El Papa is not the way to heaven. There was no communion cup for him to drink, so it must be that you don't get to heaven because you take communion. There was no Eucharist for him to place on his tongue, so the Holy Eucharist must be the unholy Eucharist. He went to heaven, there was no baptistry there, so baptism must not be the way to heaven. There was no opportunity to do a good deed, he was nailed to the cross, and so that must not be the way to heaven. He couldn't get off the cross and go join the church, so that must not be the way to heaven. He couldn't take the sacraments, so that must not be the way to heaven. He couldn't kiss the toe of the Pope, so that must not be the way to heaven. He couldn't take the catechism, so that must not be the way to heaven. Somebody said, he's on the cross. You got to get saved. You're going to go to hell or heaven right away. Well, what do I do, he said the thief on the cross. Somebody said, join the church. He said, I can't join the church. I'm dying. Somebody said, be baptized. He said, I can't be baptized. I'm dying. Somebody said, turn over a new leaf. He said, I can't turn over a new leaf. I'm dying. Somebody said, take communion. I can't take communion. I'm dying. Somebody said, live a good life. I can't live a good life. It's over. I'm dying. And I need Jesus. And that's what you need. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? But all he needed was there. Jesus. That's all he needed. It doesn't matter tonight how popular Pilate was. It only matters what he did with Jesus. It doesn't matter tonight how powerful Herod was. All that matters is what did Herod do with Jesus. It doesn't matter tonight how free Barabbas was. All that matters is what did Barabbas do with Jesus. It doesn't matter tonight how wicked the thief was. All that mattered was what did he do with Jesus. It does not matter how fearful Caiaphas was. All that matters is what did Caiaphas do with Jesus. It does not matter how wealthy Judas Iscariot was. It only matters what did Judas Iscariot do with Jesus. It does not matter how religious the Pharisees were. That question is, what did they do with Jesus? Does not matter how reliable, how obedient the soldiers were, and how reliable they were. It only matters what did they do with Jesus, which is called Christ. It doesn't matter how pious Annas was. It only matters what did he do with Jesus. I want to say this tonight. The Pope in Rome will burn in hell if he doesn't get born again by faith in Jesus Christ. Cardinal Bernardine tonight is burning in hell unless he trusted Jesus Christ to save him.
If he trusted the Holy Eucharist, he's not in heaven. If he trusted the Catholic Church, he's not in heaven. If he trusted confession, he's not in heaven. Jesus, there's none other name given among heaven, under heaven, whereby ye must be saved. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeding, now it is His Word. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for blessing, now Himself alone. All in all is Jesus. Of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus is everything. Doesn't matter now how literate the scribes were. It all that matters is what did they do with Jesus. And it won't matter 100 years from now who won the stinking NBA. It won't matter 100 years from now whether Michael Jordan has 3 gold rings, 4 gold rings, or a ring for every 10 finger, 10 gold rings. It won't matter. But it'll matter about what Michael Jordan did with Jesus Christ. It won't matter 100 years from now who's going to win the stupid Super Bowl. Won't matter. And America gets all excited about a bunch of goons running and trying to kill each other, kicking a little dead pig stuffed with air across the pasture, through some plumbing down at the end of the field, and call the Super Bowl. I call it the Stupor Bowl. Anybody go up there and play a game out in the temperature they did in Green Bay today, it's stupor, not super. It won't matter 100 years from now whether Clinton or Dole sat in the White House. It won't matter how religious you are 100 years from now. It won't matter what church you joined. It won't matter how popular you are. 100 years from now, it won't matter how much money you had. 100 years from now, it won't matter how many degrees you had after your name. 100 years from now, it won't matter what religion you embraced. 100 years from now, it won't matter who hit the most home runs, Babe Ruth or Roger Maris. It won't matter 100 years from now that Michael Jordan made $30 million. The only thing that matters, has Michael Jordan received Jesus Christ as his Savior? I don't care if he's MJ, the most famous man, most recognizable man in the world today. I don't care who he is. If he does not put his faith in Jesus Christ and get born again, he'll be the most popular basketball player in hellfire and brimstone. Won't matter 100 years from now what religion you embraced. Won't matter 100 years from now whether or not men ran around in underwear, bouncing around ball, making millions of dollars for it. It won't matter 100 years from now what color Dennis Rodman's hair was. As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter now. It won't matter how large Arnold Schwarzenegger's biceps were. It won't matter how beautiful Liz Taylor is. All that matters now for Elvis Presley, did he get saved before you left? What did you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? All that matters now for Marilyn Monroe is not how pretty she was. All her movies don't matter. All her money doesn't matter. Only thing that matters for Marilyn Monroe, what did she do with Jesus, which is called Christ? All that matters tonight for John F. Kennedy is not, was he a member of the great Kennedy family who made their money on liquor, breaking homes, and murdering people on the highways? It doesn't matter tonight whether Kennedy sat in the White House or the outhouse. It doesn't matter. All that matters is what did John F. Kennedy do with Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter tonight whether Richard Nixon was president and whether he goes down in history as being the next Abraham Lincoln or as being the next Benedict Arnold. It doesn't matter. All that matters is what did he do with Jesus, which is called Christ. It doesn't matter tonight how many concerts Liberace had or how many concerts his husband had. It doesn't matter. All that matters tonight, or how many beautiful suits he had, or how many diamonds he wore. He doesn't wear a diamond tonight. He has no money in the bank tonight. Listen to me, young people, I'm preaching to you. All that matters tonight about Liberace is what did he do with Jesus, which is called Christ. Doesn't matter how many home runs Babe Ruth hit, or how many runs batted in Lou Gehrig had, or what the batting average of Mickey Mantle was. Only thing that matters about Mickey Mantle tonight
What did he do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Doesn't matter tonight all the power that Adolf Hitler had. Doesn't matter how many broadcasts John Chancellor made. It doesn't matter how good a coach George Halas was, or George Burns, or Richard Nixon. All that matters is, what did they do with Jesus? It was called Christ. Looking through the paper this morning, checking some of the sports news. There was an article, picture of Arnold Palmer, the most famous golfer who ever lived, 67 years of age, stricken with prostate cancer. Arnold Palmer makes more money from endorsements than any living golfer. And maybe he makes more money of endorsements than anybody in the world except Michael Jordan. Doesn't matter now. Doesn't matter. When that cancer of the prostate gland hit Arnold Palmer, which may someday take his life, it doesn't matter that he won the National Open. It doesn't matter that he won more than one Masters Championship. It doesn't matter that he won the British Open. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters, what did he do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Where are you tonight? Are you like Pilate who washed your hands of him? Are you like Judas who's betrayed him? Are you like the soldiers who crucified him? Are you like Peter, you're ashamed of him who denied the faith, the church, and the Savior? Or are you like the thief that accepted him? Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken! What meaneth a sudden call? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Jesus is standing at your heart's door, standing and knocking. He's knocked before. This is the question he asks once more. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? You confess him now, he confesses you then. You reject him now, he rejects you then. You're ashamed of him now, he's ashamed of you then. You speak for him now, he'll not reward you like you want to be rewarded when you stand before him. What are you doing with him tonight? Have you told anybody about him lately? Have you told anybody headed for a devil's hell that they can go to heaven? Have you spoke about him? Do the folks where you work ever hear his name? How long has it been since you stood up for Jesus? An old story, I'll tell it. I haven't told it in years. I used to tell it often around the country. Famous atheist was speaking to 5,000 people about his atheism. A renowned atheist. He swayed that crowd, proving to that crowd there was no God. Made light of the Bible. Made fun of the Bible. Swayed the crowd to believe that the Bible was not true and Jesus was not the Son of God. And there's no God at all. And this famous atheist convinced that crowd that there was no God, no Bible, no Jesus, no heaven, no hell. And finally he stopped and said, I challenge anybody to walk up on this platform and refute what I've said. Come on! 5,000 people hushed! Come on! Come on! Said Thomas Paine. Come on! Come on! Prove there's a Bible! Prove there's a God! I dare you! Way up in the balcony, back in the back, a little teenage girl stood up And in a very simple, quiet soprano voice began to sing, "Stand up. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory his army shall lead." And as she sang that song, a few people around her began to sing it with her. And then suddenly the entire section where he was joined her. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call, obey. And she sang it. Then pretty soon the entire balcony was singing. And then pretty soon the entire 5,000 people in unison were singing together. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Not a tear in the house. And I mean, not a dry eye in the house. Everybody crying. Everybody singing. When they finished, somebody said, "What happened to Thomas Paine?" And somebody said, "He ran out the door when that little girl stood up for Jesus Christ." Are you standing for him? Are you standing for him? How long has it been since you won anybody to him? How long has it been since you spoke of him at work? How long has it been since you told somebody who doesn't know him about him? Question of the centuries is a simple question. Ask the Pontius Pilate 2,000 years ago, "What shall I do then with Jesus?" Which is called Christ, our Heavenly Father. I pray for those tonight who never trusted him that they'll do so. Help people who are hiding behind the church or some little piddling trusting Jesus, not even knowing they were sinners, to face reality. Heaven or hell depends on what we do with Jesus Christ.